Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji, I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that's designed to move you from where you are to where you want to be, a show that is packed full of interesting people and great co-hosts like Niles and KJ that come along for the ride and really inspire you to be the best you that you can be. And with this show today, we are doing a new platform and we're really excited. If you can see all of us, hey Niles, hey KJ. And we're going to have a good time today because we've got a guest on this show that is just mind-blowing and thought-provocative, the son of a restaurateur who is famous for all things Italian. And I don't want to spoil the excitement about that, but I do want to tell Niles and KJ, guys, you really pulled one over on me today. You know that, right?
that's what we do. That's what we do.
We're gonna keep it live. Keep it live.
On the toes.
You know, last week we talked a principle of having faith beyond the test. And we simply said, in a nutshell, you got to have your faith in an object that is solid, that is strong, that never wavers. And that object, of course, is God. So whatever test that you may be going through or have gone through, that faith that you had before the test, during the test, and after the test should be really indicative of the faith that you have in God. Would you agree?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, it has to be something concrete, because if it's not concrete, then, you know, you'll go left, right, you know, ahead, backwards, and so on. You have to have a solid foundation in order to, I mean, you're steady there, but at the same time, you need to make sure that, you know, you have something that's, once again, concrete and that, you know, won't stray.
Absolutely.
You have to have an anchor.
I like
that. That's what I was looking for. An anchor. Okay.
My grandma now. You got to have an anchor. So what we're going to talk about today's principle is, what's holding you back from an exceptional life? And when you think about the word exceptional, you know, you tend to think about something that's beyond good or something that's out of the ordinary, to, you know, for a lack of a better word. But I want you to just really focus in on today that when you are expecting life to be good, to sometimes we just find ourselves in a day-to-day humdrum. You know, I get up, I go to work, I come home, I get up, I go to work, I come home. But life is really more than that. God has truly designed it where it's a choice to be successful, right? It's a choice in failure, but everything that you need for an exceptional life is really in you. It's not predicated on physical, tangible things, or it's not predicated on what you're driving or how much is in your bank account, but it's really predicated on you saying, I am going to choose life that is far above what I can see. It's far above the, you know, what I'm feeling right now. It's, if it's a circumstance that you're not comfortable in, it really, you can choose to change the trajectory of your life. And I've written just four simple steps that I use every day. I really do. This is the truth. And it's real simple. One, begin to speak good things about your life. Two, see yourself as already having had that which you believed was impossible. Three, eliminate words that will cause you to have fear and hopelessness. You got to watch what you say. And then four, commit to writing a 30, 60, 90-day plan with actionable goals that you can really kind of check off to see what you've done, where you are, and where you're going. And I mean, this is just four things that, again, I use daily. It may be something that you can add to your life, but you will honestly begin to see that you will have a quest, or you can have a quest for a life that is beyond exceptional, exceptional, exceptional. What do you 100%, think?
100%. I agree with everything you just said. And it kind of goes to show, like, you have to ask yourself the tough questions, like what's really holding you back from really moving on to the next level. Like, it could be an outside force. It could be an internal force. It could just be yourself. And you have to really dig deep and answer those hard questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go to the core to try to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
You're an obstacle.
But let me ask you this, though, and it's just, you know, off the cuff here. Do you really want to do the work? You know, that's that proverbial question. That's a lot of work, man. You're saying go inside and pull out all that stuff that I'm dealing with. That's work. And sometimes I'll admit, sometimes I'm lazy, or I used to be really lazy. And I get all back, but that's work.
I think we had a conversation, Dr. T, a couple of days ago about like what we do when you make a decision. Like I talked to you about I'm always in a constant mind of reflection. Okay, mm-hmm. Why did I make a decision? Why did I go this way? And so you have to understand the roots of like, okay, where's my roots really planted in? So then that's when the work really begins, if you choose to dig it up.
Yeah, and then you have to ask yourself, how bad do you really want it? You know, because if you really want it, then you know you'll ignore, you know, feeling lazy or not feeling like, you know, you're up to it at this time. You know, and even if you, you know, may skip, you know, directing your attention towards that thing at that time, you'll always come back to it because it's important to you. So it all depends on how bad do you want it. You have to ask yourself that question. Mm. And if you don't have it, what will happen?
Absolutely. You know, with today's climate, sometimes it's hard for us to think that, you know, I hear what you guys are saying, but man, I'm trying to put food on the table. I'm just trying to keep a roof over my head. So how do you get someone to say, but you matter? Because COVID, as bad as it is, and it's a horrible virus. I'm not going to lie and say to you, oh, you know, it's like the cold coming flu. It's not. It's not. We got it wrong if we're thinking that way. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes to think that I gotta live beyond this. You know, this is the principle from last week. This is going to pass. Now what? And KJ, you said something that was really spot on in our dialogue, is that you gotta be ready, and you gotta be ready. You gotta be ready now. And mm-hmm. That made so much sense to me. So thank you for that tidbit, you know, that nugget.
Yeah, preparation is key. Preparation is key. Because if it comes along, then will you know how to deal with it? Will you know how to proceed? You know, you have to act like you're going to receive that thing on a daily basis. So that means you have to continuously be walking in that direction.
Absolutely.
Because we all pray for things and we all want this or that, but are we ready for it? Have you been preparing yourself to receive that thing? And once you get it, what you gonna do?
Absolutely.
I mean, shout out to my barber right now. I know I need a haircut, but he taught me that the 5 P's, proper preparation prevents poor performance. So mm-hmm. I always be in a mindset of like, okay, I need to get ready because I don't know when a certain event is gonna happen, positive or negative.
Right.
even if you are like, let's say 2% ready, at least you're more ready than a person who has 1%.
Absolutely.
Mm, five P's, okay.
I know, right? I'm thinking that, right? And I'm rehearsing that in my mind.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it before, but at first I thought, you know, pomegranate, pepperoni, pasta, pizza, you know. Yeah.
Well, thank you to your barber. And hey,
I'm loving the convenient cuts.
I'm loving that, brother. What are you talking? Wow. So this is our new for a minute, huh? Okay. All right. I can do this. You know, it's different, and that's what's so fun about this show. It's engaging. It's what we want it to be, thought provoking, and we want people to please follow us at Dr. Tanji Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you know, just kind of let us know what your thoughts are, because we cannot do an effective show without you. So by all means, come and join us.
Mm-hmm. Source of inspiration for the show and motivation. Yep.
It better be. So mm-hmm. If you're thinking, right, if you're thinking, she's saying that we can have an exceptional life now. What? How can you apply that? How do we apply that principle to our lives?
I guess going back to what we were talking about earlier is like you have to walk in that light, you know, every day. You know, okay. It's not about just doing a little bit there. You have to continuously walk in that light consistently, you know, and in that, you know, of course there's prayer, but then you have to take the action to exercise discipline. You know, you have to, you know, have a plan and, you know, write it out. So it's visual, whether it's like a vision board or whatever else, but sometimes it's important to have that constant reminder that keeps you going in the right direction and to always, you know, keep in place with that motivation, that source. You have to remember where it comes from. And once again, you have to continue to ask yourself, how bad do I want this? If I don't have this thing, what is going to happen? Am I going to be happy? Where's it going to lead? And if there's more pros than cons, you better keep on pushing in that direction, because if you don't, you're not going to be satisfied with the life. Because life, people say life is short, but life is long as ever if you're stuck in a situation that you are not 100% satisfied with. So, yep. No, life is long when you're unhappy. Life is long when you're unfulfilled. So I think that's motivation in itself. Like, absolutely. Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? If not, then get up off of that thing, like James Brown said, and dance till you'll feel better.
Yeah.
You know, like the phrase YOLO, you only live once. I'm like, I would change that phrase to you live every day, you die once.
Mm.
So, that's true.
What are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's like you want to leave here, you know, on E, you know, with nothing left in your tank. You know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but they said the wealthiest, you know, place in the world is the graveyard, because that's all the untapped potential and dreams and visions and the, you know, mm-hmm. the things that people didn't act on out of fear or because they were waiting for that perfect moment. And as we all know, there's no time for that perfect moment. Yeah. You have to make that moment happen for yourself.
During this time, it's a perfect moment to do that. I know we've talked about this every week, just as a reminder for you guys, like, if you have an idea, if you have a plan, a vision, a dream, this is the time to work on it now while everything is shut down. You have time to work on yourself, work on your business, work on your dream. So take advantage. When this is over, we'll know who's truly working and who is just talking.
Yeah.
You know, when you said that to me, I kid you not, we have these private conversations, guys, you know, after the show conversations, we really need to start taping those. And he said that to me, and I literally have been waking up in a cold sweat every morning, 3 o'clock. I kid you not. I get up at 5 anyway, but every morning, 3 o'clock, I'm waking up in a cold sweat because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be in this place not doing something that's going to carry me further to where I want to be, seriously. And how can you tell someone, hey, come on, live your best life if you're not? It's kind of being,
that's true.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, one of my like fears is just like for this quarantine to be over and I haven't accomplished anything.
Oh, yeah.
Or I haven't worked on anything. So yeah. I just want that reminder constantly. I'm like, you have every minute. You have no school tomorrow. You got no work.
Right.
Some people may not have work. So let's make something. Make something
happen. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. You just have to have, you have to really find and hold on to that source, you know, that sense of passion, because that's what's going to keep you pushing and that's what's going to keep you going regardless of, you know, whatever your circumstance may be. Because if you don't have that, then, you know, the things that come with, you know, pursuing your dream or anything outside of the ordinary, you're not going to be able to handle them. You know, you're not going to be able to handle those things because, you know, like I said, if your heart's not in it, 100%. Like, you can say anything with your mouth, but if your heart's not truly in it, then it's going to be easy to quit because nobody wants to deal with the kind of hardships that you are, you know, going to deal with on that road, you know. Absolutely. And you shouldn't expect it to be easy. You know, the road to extraordinary is an extraordinary road. You're going to see all kinds of things, bumps, bruises, yep, valleys, and whatever else. So, you know, you best to make sure that you are, you know, I keep on using the word concrete, but when you think of concrete is stable.
Absolutely.
You know, like when you walk on a sidewalk, that concrete isn't going anywhere. If anything, like if we smack up against that concrete, it's still not going to move. So you have to have that kind of foundation.
Absolutely. Don't you love him? Don't you just love this guy? Guys,
he's right. He's right.
Absolutely. Man.
Yeah.
We've got to do this thing, right? Okay, Niles, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm excited about this particular portion of the show where
it's a little different. I don't think we've done this before.
So yeah. I'm quiet. You take lead.
Yeah. We want you guys, the listeners, the source of motivation for this show, the people that we're talking to know a little bit more about us. We don't want you guys just to sit back and think like, oh, these people are just talking at us. You know, they have their stuff together. How can I get like them? But we're all on our own paths. And, you know, we all endure all kinds of things, you know. So we don't want you guys to think that we have it all together. God is working through us and God is working through all of us. And our light shines because of that. So we want to introduce you guys a little bit more to who we are. Because you hear us every Wednesday, but do you know who we really is? Probably not.
Absolutely. All right.
Yeah. really is. Let me, you know, translate that. Really are. Okay. We really are. All right. I'm just had to put a little twine to it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I do it good.
Mm-hmm. So let's start off with this. What inspires you? Who were your inspirations growing up? Who led you to this point? It can be your mama, daddy, uncle, MLK. Doesn't matter. But what and who inspired you to get to this point?
All right. Who's going first?
I'll go first.
He's going to say Power Rangers.
Huh?
You said Power Rangers? That was my motivation for a while when I was younger. Power Rangers, really? You know? Yeah.
No, Power Rangers. Yeah. I would have to say... what was it? Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Really?
That was it. I mean, this may sound cliche, because we're doing a show about purpose, but the main character Aang literally ran from his purpose and went loose with the Fire Nation until he had to own up to it and step into his person on purpose, being the Avatar. So like that's an inspiration. And and a real life person right now, I would have to say, Dwayne Wade and Denzel Washington.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That's good.
Okay. You know, for me, it was so interesting. I read a lot growing up, and I've read things that I probably didn't even comprehend fully until like much later in my life. But when I say I was reading like a lot of like biographies, Malcolm X was like, I don't know what it was about Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali growing up, but I just like their courage, you know, their bravery. And for me, Malcolm X, his ability to literally just turn his life around, like, you know, while he was in prison, just to become this huge, you know, iconic figure and, you know, really speak up for the people and, you know, have a sense of integrity and dignity while doing it. So my favorite movie growing up was Malcolm X by Spike Lee. And I just love watching that process from him, you know, having the pre-life before, you know, becoming Malcolm X and then just transferring, you know, his whole life and saying no to all the vices and things that he was holding on to mm-hmm. say yes to his future and to say yes to his purpose on this earth. So, you know, for me, it was Malcolm X, the movie person, but also Muhammad Ali. You know, those guys, just the ability that they had to not just connect with the people, but also ignore and avoid all of the negative things that were being said about them. Because it's hard to continue on a path in a certain road when you have a lot of, I guess, naysayers and a lot of opposition. And the way that they handle those things with, you know, just integrity and passion, regardless of whatever was, you know, whatever was in front of them. For instance, the movie Malcolm X, you know, when he went to the police station, you know, with, you know, the Muslim followers. And mm-hmm. it's amazing how many people followed him just from him just going like this, you know, and just he was a man. He was very, you know, well-spoken. He was great when it came to expressing himself and, mm-hmm. you know, plight for the people. But just seeing power in that scene with him without him actually having to say much, like that always sticks in my mind.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. Why am I looking at that movie now through you in a whole different way?
Mm. Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about, though, when he went down to the police station, when they beat up a young man and all he had to do was this and like everybody was moving, you know, and It was. He said very few words, and he got so much done. I'm like, that's power right there. Absolutely. And they even said it. That's too much power for one man to have.
Yep. I remember that. You know, for me, it was in three stages of inspiration. One was my mom. She was a single mom, and we were living in the projects. And I would watch this woman work three jobs. And it was just such an inspiration for me as a child. So I took up the love of cleaning. I my kids call me the OCD mother, but I'm not. I do not do anything obsessive compulsively. But I wanted to always keep our apartment clean. I did not want her, after working all of those hours, to come home to a dirty apartment. So I started cleaning. My second inspiration was my dad. My dad, you know, the story goes, my mom, you know, my dad was married. I'm the product of a love child. And, you know, my dad was 37. My mom was 15. Nowadays, we call it statutory rape, right?
Okay.
But watching my dad have his own business, he had a cafe. He had a beautiful brick home that was like 5,000 square feet in the 80s, and he had all of this land. So I wanted to be like my daddy. You know what I mean? I like the respect that he would garner from folks in the neighborhood. You know, he lived maybe 2 miles from us, and it was a treat for me to go to his home and to kind of look at what he had. You know, the third stage of my inspiration is when I was introduced to Christ and I began to read about him. I studied him for years. I was introduced at 6. I started, you know, I confessed Christ at 12, 11 or 12. And I remember reading just over and over for hours how he could come on the scene, and he loved, genuinely loved everybody. He was a man of, you know, not many words, but he would go with the person that you ordinarily wouldn't hang out with, you know? So I find myself sometimes hanging out with people that, you know, someone will ask me, well, what are they bringing to the table? But I'm thinking they're bringing life to the table, man. Do you know this man's struggle? So I'm always for those who have gone through something. You know, I've got a motto, a mantra in my life that says, you can't walk with me if you're not going through anything. You just can't. We don't even have the same conversations. If I tell you about cancer and I'm telling you, you know, you may not have gone through cancer, but you know that, man, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty dreadful. If you don't know what it feels like to be homeless twice, we can't have a conversation if you've always lived in a palace. You know, you won't understand when I tell you that I slept on someone's sofa. So it's those kinds of inspirations, you know. And now, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm kind of inspiring myself. If that makes any sense. I am, because I'm not perfect in the way that humanity says without flaw. But when I say something, that perfection means yes or no. So that's perfect. So perfect when we exercise maturity. And that's what we do. So those are those phases in my life that were for inspiration. That's why I love coming on this show. That's why I love when I have to go on a fast and I'm like, oh, God. You know, getting through the fast is, you know, sometimes the hardship. But I'm not fasting now just for me. I get to fast for other people. That's why I'll ask them, so what you thinking? You know, so what is it that you want to do in life? And then I'll start to write it. And then I began to pray for him. And I don't have to call him and tell him that, hey, I'm praying for you, or hey, I'm fasting for you. I just do it. So, you know, not to make a long story short, but that's the beauty of this show. You know, we really are doing life together, man. We are in all of its glory. We are. We fall 7 times, we get up 10. In our world.
For sure.
That's very sure. powerful. Like, it's crazy that we all have these dreams and all these inspirations. I ask that all the viewers and listeners who are tuning in right now, follow us on drtanjishow.com, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and tell us what inspires you. What is your inspiration? Because we want to know. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll share it on the show.
That would be wonderful. I think more interaction with people that are really doing things in the marketplace or want to do things in the marketplace. I think that you know, that's the cusp of the show to really inspire people to get moving. You know, we can talk a good talk all day, but until you reach your hand out and say, hey, come, let me help you. But we don't know that you are where you are or where you want to be if you don't stay engaged with us. Yeah.
Yeah. How to get moving and stay moving.
Absolutely.
The main part is important too.
Absolutely.
You know, so I have another quick question for you guys. What are you doing to stay productive during this quarantine? And what is one thing that you may have been focusing on from the beginning or one thing that you want to accomplish by the end of this quarantine?
Wow. One thing I've been focusing on is this man will send me things to do. It takes me 300 times to get one thing right, and I love it. So I'm focusing on doing better at that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Well, it's not like we don't have an elephant in the room. So we got this guy. He is none other than the phenomenal author, TV, and radio host. He's actually on LA Radio on, I think it's Sundays at 8 p.m. It's Max and Friends. He has worked with the best of them. This guy started at, 13? You know, you're doing photography. He comes from just a wealth of his background is unbelievable. Philanthropist, a board member, I think it was America's Next Top Model. He was out, you know, doing that. And his story reads like the who of among the greatest. And it is an honor and a privilege. And I am humbled to welcome Mr. Max Tusi to the show.
Thank you.
There is so much that I can say about you. I was reading your bio and I'm looking and I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold up. This man was born in 79 and he's done all of this. Man, I'm going to ask you that proverbial question, Max. How did you get here? Wow.
Well, you know, the reality of everything is, thank you for having me here in this moment. I'm grateful to all of you, KJ, Niles, and Tanji, all, Dr. Tanji, thank for you. Having me here. So first and foremost, thank you. The question, how did I get here, is I would like to throw it back and say, why did I get here and where am I going?
I love it.
Mm.
And when we realize why we're here and where we are going is when we stand for something and can't fall for anything. So with that, I'm just enjoying the ride that I've created, that my creator's created, and that I've accepted.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm here. I'm here to die empty, you know, to die empty.
Is he not living a purposeful life or what? I love that. You're here to die empty. And you really are the soliloquy of someone who really, I mean, you're not kidding. You're not playing around, Max. And I love that. When I ran into you, when I was introduced to you, I knew that you were a man of substance, a man who truly, you know, kind of had his finger on the pulse of everything good, everything that's going to be beneficial for people. See, you're not just in it for you, Max. I love that about you. It's always about the other person. And thank you. Thank you really for living a selfless life.
Thank you. Well, you know, I think the reality of living is together we rise. So when we do this life thing together, we're able to float on that air that we create. We're able to soar on that air that we create. And the only way we create that is together. So for me, it's always important to link up with people who have that purpose, who have that substance, who have that drive, who are also of the knowledge and of the mind frame that we need to die empty and leave everything here. And Absolutely. That together we rise. And then we can take our glory and run.
I love it. Amen, Max. Wow. So I don't want to hog this conversation. So guys, you know, just kind of chime in here. But I want to ask you, what was it like to work with someone who discovered Naomi Campbell? I mean, come on, man. That was at a young age that you began to work with Beth Bolt. How was that?
It was fascinating working with someone who had an eye. And not only in discovering Naomi, you know, when she discovered Naomi, was like 13 years old, walking out of ballet class in London. And Beth was doing this for years. So again, it's not just like Beth, she created in her mind who she thought was going to be the next model. So she always had that with her. And it's something that is cultivated. And so to be able to work with someone who has that sharp eye of what, It's hard to say beauty, because beauty is in so many ways, but Naomi is beautiful. You know, Naomi is a beautiful woman, and there's so many, every woman is beautiful, period. You know, it's just, unfortunately, there's an industry that has standards to what they think beauty is. Right. And when Beth discovered Naomi, she was a child. And when I discovered Beth, I was a child, you know, but I always was curious into what it was that Beth saw in not only Naomi, but in all the other girls that she had discovered. And we worked together for many years. And it wasn't until, I'm 41 now, so I was probably 38. So whatever the math is, however many years later, is when I finally discovered my Naomi. And her name is Fatou Job. And I was in the subway at midnight. And it wasn't more, I didn't see her as opposed to I felt her energy. Okay. And my train had, you know, I love this story because I call it from subway to runway. Okay. And the subway that I was on broke. So I had to switch trains. It was like midnight or so.
Uh-huh.
And I was waiting just in 42nd Street, waiting to get my next subway downtown to go home. And uh-huh. I felt this energy. So I turn around and I look up the stairs and there was this joyful, playful spirit. And I was like, oh, wow. And there yeah. was a moment in me where I said, you know what? Don't even bother her because okay. she's already a model. And okay. then something spoke louder and said, no, you need to go talk to her. And she was with her boyfriend. And I was like, look, this is how white boys get in the subway. I'm going to mind my business, get on my train and leave. So I asked the boyfriend first. I said, does your girlfriend model? And he said, ask her. So I said, okay. So I said, do you model? And she said, no. I said, do you want to model? And she said, yes. So I actually called Beth. I had Beth on the line so that, you know, they didn't think that I was like some kind of strange guy at midnight. Yeah. And I remember saying to her, I'm not going to call you. You have to call me. I don't want your number. Here's my number.
Okay.
And those 3 days that we waited for her to call, it was like nail biting. And she called. And, you know, like everything, in order to achieve something, you need to understand it. And not only just understand it, have a knowledge for it, but also be wise about how you're going to live that dream. So sure. we molded her, we helped her, you know, and a year later we got her signed. Wow. And when I say we, you know, it's a team, together we rise. And sure. so we got her signed and her first show was Calvin Klein at 20, I think she was 23 at the time. They gave her an exclusive, which is very rare for a new girl to right. come out on the scene and get an exclusive. And yeah. so Calvin Klein gave her an exclusive and the rest is history. From there, she's now... So however many years later, she's done Calvin Klein, Hermes, Givenchy, Valentino, Dior. She's walked for all the major designers. She's been to Japan, London. She has agencies representing her in Milan, in Paris, in London, and New York. So, so how was it to meet Beth? You know, I feel like this path of life that we're on, there's these connections with people that when we really look deep into who they are and what role they'll play into our lives... Right. then we're able to have not only a friendship, but right. to then realize our purpose and why they're in our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. What a beautiful story. Thank
that's
you.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. For sure.
I have a question, question for you. Sure. We had a question earlier today about our inspirations. So what inspires you and who are your inspirations in your life? What keeps you going? Because I know you're doing a lot.
Yeah. Well, what inspires me is this moment. All of you right now are inspiring me to become better at not only who I am, but to then, I always say it, to die empty, to then, yeah. you know, you to give back. And the inspiration for me is really the now moment and understanding that we are really creating our reality with each breath that we take and with each choice that we make. And so for me, the inspiration is to wake up and to not only just wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm here, but to wake up with that gratitude that I'm grateful to be here. Thank you. There's chaos in the world right now. How can I bring the calm? How can I the peace? How can I bring everything that I want in my life to then into my world, my space, my group of friends? So the inspiration is to just constantly be in the now moment and not to regret what I've done. But to almost regret what I haven't done. So that gives me the curiosity to then continue and want to do something new.
Okay. Is that how you started your show on LA Talk, Max and Friends?
Max and Friends, 12 years now I'm here at LA Talk Radio. So
okay.
how that started, thank you. How Max and Friends started, it actually was To The Max. And it was on BBS Talk Radio. Before we were LA Talk Radio, we were BBS Talk Radio. And before I got into radio, I was doing television. And television, there's an expectation to television because now, I mean, we're in a different world with Zoom and all of these meetings. But right. then it was who we see you on camera as, who you have to be in your life, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And that's not who I was in my life. You know, I was picked to do America's Next Top Model, to be a lifestyle expert, to bring what I've learned over the years into the arena, but that doesn't make me me. That's just a facet of me. And so judgment was huge, which is fine. You know, they really have thick skin, I don't think is thick skin, as opposed to knowing who you are. And when you know who you are, that's considered the thick skin. So I knew who I was. But when the internet came out and when people started attacking me, and not only I had a stalker, I was, you know, cyber bullied. This is back in 2000 and whatever, you know, so TV burnt me out. That's the reality. TV burnt me out. And I was burning candles at both ends. I was flying coast to coast, New York to LA, New York to LA. And then finally, my agent was like, look, there's an opportunity. There's this new PBS talk radio. You can do what you want. They're looking for hosts. Because my agent was like, you need to like keep giving who you are to the public. So maybe radio is the way for you and not television for that moment. So in that moment, I agreed. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. My first show, I don't even remember my first show. I think my first show was, at the time, I was working on a cooking show with Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins from NBA. And we were working on a cooking show. And I said, Daryl, I'm doing a radio show. Will you come on? And he was like, sure. And I didn't know how I was going to interview him. But I remembered that as a child, I would always daydream that Barbara Walters was interviewing me. And I was always on our property in Connecticut. And I was walking around. And my mom was like, who are you talking to? And I'd be like, Barbara Walters. And so I always had this, I was always inquisitive and I always had this notion to want to ask people questions. Mm-hmm. And growing up as a child, I was never told to stop asking why. And I think that's a huge failure that parents have when they tell their children, stop asking why. Mm-hmm. Because what it does is it short circuits you from curiosity. And so mm-hmm. that curiosity turned into a radio, you know, to LA Talk Radio. And then it was geared towards lifestyle and really like my experiences in this affluent lifestyle. Then we had a big change with the economy. And to me, it didn't feel authentic or right to do a lifestyle show when people were suffering. Right. And so I said, you know what? If Oprah can have friends, Max can have friends. Let's just all be this place where people can come. And no matter who you are, whether you're a newsmaker, celebrity, every day, whatever it is you do in life, I have a space for you. I have a platform for you. And if I feel that frequency and if I feel who you are, then come on my show and we'll talk about it. 12 years later, I think over 600 shows and over 1,000 people, I think I've interviewed now. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that mindset of asking questions, because like a question tends to open the mind while a statement tends to close it. So I love
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Wow. So let me sneak in a question real quick. All right. So Max, what is that one thing that kept you going through those difficult times? Because a lot of times those are the things that we don't talk about. And you're going to, you know, face difficult times, you know, at some point, or you might be going through difficult times now. So what is that one thing that kept you going?
The one thing that has always kept me going is that I understand and appreciate that what I have right now, which is life, is a gift. And every day I get to unwrap it. And every day the gift gets to be bigger and better. And even if I'm going through all those hard times, even if I'm feeling, you know, sad or unmotivated, depressed, whatever we want to call the words, I always remember I'm here for a purpose. And I'm here so that whatever my purpose is that every day I get to discover. So for me, it's really about believing that we're all here, not just by accident. We're not here just because we were born. We're here because we're needed. And so I know I'm needed.
Wow, I love it. So Max, what is next for you? What's next for the man who is the producer of The Polished Woman, my girl?
That you've been on.
I love that show. What's next for you, man? I mean, you've got a litany of things that you've done.
Yeah. You know, again, curiosity. It's okay. For me, I like to know what's now. You know, if I look too far into the future, that's kind of almost living in fear. And if I live in the past, then I'm living in regret. So for me, it's what's happening now. And I like to say what's happening now is that I'm here on Dr. Tanji's show on LA Talk Radio. So what's next? You know, no one knows really what's next, but we know what's now. And so right now I'm just filled with joy to be able to be here on your show.
Thank you so much, baby. You are such an inspiration. I swear to you, you really, really are. I love you. Oh, man. So how can our listeners and the ones that are actually viewing us now on this Zoom platform engage with you to kind of see what you're unwrapping for the day?
So follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Max Tucci. Sunday nights is LA Talk Radio, latalkradio.com, channel 1 at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And then if you want the archives, it's latalkradio.com/Max. There I have now over 12 years of shows. You can follow me there and engage with me. Tweet me, email me, max@maxtucci.com. Let me know what's going on in your life. I really am curious as to know, you know, if you take an interest in my life, I want to take an interest in your life. So, you know, hit me up and let's chat. And also, I'm working on a book. That is for sure of what's next. Okay. I'm working on a book, an entertainment cookbook about my family's restaurant, Delmonico's, which is America's first fine dining restaurant. Yes. The oldest restaurant in America. Uh-huh. And it's the elephant birth. It's been now an 11-year process getting this book together. But, you know, a baby can't be born premature unless you want to incubate it. And I don't want to incubate it. I just want it to be born and live. So it's an elephant birth, but it will be born.
Wonderful. I love it, Max. You are today's principle. You're what we call, you know, you're doing it. You're living today's principle of what's holding you back from living an exceptional life. There's absolutely nothing that is holding you back, sir. And we can truly take some nuggets from what you disclosed with us from, you know, from starting where you were to now and never allowing fear or anything of that nature to try to hamper what you're doing. And for that, thank you. Thank you for being a living demonstration of you answered yes to life, and life is serving you very well, sir.
Thank you. Well, you know, when you say fear, as long as we remember that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, fear not, you know, and fear is basically false evidence appearing real. And so once we get our thoughts out of the way, we have a focus on the gratitude of being in life right now. It's really, you know, I am so grateful to be alive right now, especially in this moment, you know, when it seems like everyone is dying. But have comfort and know that not everybody is dying and that there are still 7.5 billion people in this world. So we're here all for a purpose. And, you know, I think the social distancing that we're gathering right now doesn't have to be with each other, but has to be with the media. We really need to social distance from the media, stand true in our faith, stand true in who we are, and continue to just love life and be grateful for it.
Absolutely. I could not have said it better. So I am grateful. I am truly, truly grateful that with all of your traveling, you were able to sit down for a few minutes and just kind of talk with us, inspire us, motivate us, and encourage us to truly live our best lives. I love you. And I really do mean that. And I'm grateful for everyone who stopped for a few minutes of their day. I know you're busy. I don't take that for granted that you could have been doing anything else that you wanted to do, but you took time out of your schedule to hang out with us on the Dr. Tom G Show. We're grateful for that. Remember, guys, stay interactive with us, please, on all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dr. Tom G Show. It is a true honor and blessing to come to you every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on latalkradio.com and Facebook, and hang out with us on Mondays, Talk to Tanjis. It's 5 o'clock, you know, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, where we are doing life together. And we have people like this guy here that comes and say, you know what? I'll sit down and ask, I'll give you my why. Again, thank you, Niles and KJ, for making this one of the best shows for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Until next time. Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Tunji Show with Dr. Tunji Scott, only on LA Talk Radio.